Welcome to Get in the Herd, a podcast about addiction and recovery brought to you by the McShin Foundation. If you or a loved one are looking for real discussions about addiction, recovery, stigma, advocacy, and most importantly, hope, then stick around. Thanks for joining us. Now sit back and get ready for another great episode of Get in the Herd.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the award-winning recovery podcast, Get Into the Herd, brought to you by the McShin Foundation. Did I say Get Into the Herd? I don't even know the name of the show today. Wow, we're starting off like that. Okay.
Get in the herd.
Get in the herd. I feel like a newcomer today. And let me tell you, I'm Nathan Mitchell. I'm your host. It's been a long week. And I'm so grateful to be sitting here with my new friend, Josie, from Clean Slate Clinics.
Hello, everybody.
Centers. Clean Slate Centers.
Yeah. I didn't even notice, honestly. Yeah. Which is probably not good, but.
Well, welcome to the show, Josie.
Thank you.
Tell me, what brought you here to the McShin Foundation? How did you find us?
Okay, great. Well, I started with Clean Slate about 2 months ago. Hmm. April 4th was my start date, so. Yeah, 2 months ago. Two.
So you just got your 60-day chip?
No. But yeah, so my first event actually was Resources to Recovery with in Richmond. It was VCU's event, and you were there.
Oh, right.
And I didn't say hi because I was really new. I was new to the job. So I was trying to make my way around a few tables. Then I did pick up one of your cards. You weren't at the table when I was there. But that's how I found you guys. That's how I reached out.
I think you reached out twice too, didn't you?
No, just once.
Just once? Yeah. Somebody else reached out to me from the event and I don't think I got back to them.
That's okay.
No, I need to get back to them. It's just, you know, I end up piling on.
No, you get really busy in this position, I found. Like very quickly too, your email can escalate.
Yeah. Well, what does Clean Slate do?
So Clean Slate is a medicated assisted treatment program. We have 3 centers in Virginia, which are the centers I work for. We have 1 location in Mechanicsville, Richmond, and then Norfolk. We provide medicated assisted treatment to those who suffer with addictions.
Okay. So when you say that you provide buprenorphine and do you do, what's the other one? What's the...
No, I'll tell you.
Please.
All of it.
Okay.
So we do Suboxone. We also do Vivitrol. And we do the Sublocade injection. Sublocade... A lot of people aren't familiar with it, but Sublocade is same active ingredient as Suboxone, the buprenorphine. It's just in an injectable form, so it's once a month, lasts 28 days, and I have mixed reviews from patients. Some people really like it, and others aren't a fan. So it can either trigger some people because it is an injection, or some people say they love it because they don't feel like they're taking medication daily, which is also could be a trigger. So.
That's an interesting point because you have different products available and different treatment options for people who need that. And I've heard those things too from our participants and from my friends, different things that work for people. So good that you've got a broad options. How does somebody get involved with you all? So do you just walk in? Do you have to have like expensive, crazy insurance?
No, not at all. Actually, Clean Slate makes treatment very accessible to all of our participants. We offer walk-in services, same-day access with all of our clinics. And on top of that, we take every insurance that you can really think of. I haven't found one yet that we don't take. So we take Medicaid, Medicare. We do TRICARE with a referral, which I know is not as relevant in this area as it is to the Norfolk area.
For those out there in the know, that's military insurance.
Yeah, that's our military insurance. So Norfolk is really heavily military populated. And then we also take all major insurances. And we even have a self-care or self-pay option for people with no insurance. And we do sliding scale as well.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. So we do lots and lots of options. And we're more than happy to work with anyone who those options don't fit with.
Well, while things seem to be exploding behind us over there, sorry about that. One thing we're looking for is to soundproof this room.
Yeah. You need those like egg carton walls.
Do you know how expensive those things are?
Okay. They are.
They are like we looked into it, trust and believe. Our producer before Art was a sound tech, like his full-time career before here was sound engineering. And we went one day, 2 years ago, we went to Sam Ash. I don't know if that's a thing anymore. We went to a music store and we were looking at supplies and it was like $60 for like one little, I was like, okay, no, this is not feasible. We'd rather spend our money on lamps and microphones.
Right. Just go to Target and get the, like the mattress pad egg carton, and like put it up and see if that works.
You know, that probably would work.
I know,
work.
Like, see if that works.
Well, I mean, like, okay.
The Room Essentials brand is probably like $10. And then just cover.
Hey, that's not a bad idea.
Everything.
That's not a bad idea.
I'm switching professions to interior design of now.
I can see that.
Yeah.
What do you think, Art? Let's go to Target?
Yeah. I mean, it won't look good, but yeah.
No, it's not. It's going to look terrible.
Well, that's what that green screen will be for.
There you go.
Yeah. But Art and I want to put a green screen behind here. And then we could be anywhere in the world. Wouldn't it be great to be sitting here?
And you could be anyone.
Well, oh, that's right. I guess I could.
No, you could.
Yeah.
You could do anything with that.
Oh, that takes us back to when we used to do evening shows with Getting the Herd, the After Hours. If anyone remembers that. You watched some? Did you watch some back episodes?
I did. Yeah, I do.
I did too. I mean, but I told you before I came on here, I like scrolled through and was watching.
I can never do that.
Every episode.
I can't watch the episodes.
I won't watch this one.
No, well, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. And Art's involved, and I know exactly what it is over there because that air conditioner pushes, and so if you open the door and don't quite close it, it just pushes it closed. And did we go? Are we okay? Okay, that always scares me when that happens. So if you're out there and you're watching right now, I see we got like one watcher, right? One participant up here. People will come back and watch it later, but when they're watching live, you can actually comment. So whoever's watching right, who is it? Can you see who's watching? Oh, it doesn't say, does it?
It just shows the likes.
Oh. Okay, so the third one right there, Leela, she's running for office in Montana right now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, she's a person in recovery. She is a McShane alum, and she's running out in Montana for, I forget the district, I'm sorry, dear. But she was on the show recently, well, a year ago or so.
Congratulations.
But, yeah, so that's a cool thing. So, like, recovery is such a big term, and it means so many different things to different people. And, you know, here at the McShane Foundation, we have the McShane Way, which you'll hear in a video in a minute, but one thing that's great about that is we have been very intentional about broadening our support of multiple pathways. So MAT, MAR, you know, MARA meetings happen here. MARA is, I don't know what that actually, I think it's Medicaid Assistant Recovery Anonymous, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 12-step, oh, you know, yeah, okay. It's a 12-step meeting that specifically dives deep, you know, for individuals on MAT, MAR who might feel ostracized in an NA or an AA meeting where, you know, some old timers can sometimes have different opinions and share those opinions.
Yeah.
I've experienced that.
I've been hearing a lot about people going to recovery meetings and then not feeling accepted into them because other people will ostracize them and say like they're not actually in recovery because they're taking a medication like Suboxone or methadone. And I'm just like, that's one thing that Clean Slate does. It's kind of one of our mottos is there's no one way to treat addiction. And that's exactly what we've built, you know, our business and company off of is we offer those different options because there really is no one way. So yeah, I've been hearing that a lot though, especially from our patients because we are an MAT.
Yeah. Do you all, so I know some providers are strictly, you know, maintenance. Do you do tapers?
Yeah, we do. We're a harm reduction clinic.
Okay.
So
we'll speak more about that if you don't mind.
Yeah. Okay.
What does that mean?
So harm reduction, it means that people, you know, obviously on your intake appointment, you will come in and you'll give your labs, you'll do a drug screening, you'll meet with our providers, and then CleanSlate offers care coordinators, which they're all CSAC certified, at least for my clinics in Virginia, and then also peer recovery specialists.
Okay.
So usually when you do your drug screening, we're obviously going to see some evidence of illicit use, if we're being technical term. And yeah, if I don't use a technical term, don't penalize me, but my history is a substance abuse counselor, in methadone clinics. So all the terms that I use are very technical, but I know there are a lot of different variations. So obviously we'll see what substances you'll be using, whether it's alcohol, heroin. We've seen a lot of fentanyl lately.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you'll get your prescription, whatever medication the doctor providers decide to put you on. You'll do that and then you'll keep coming back. So with Suboxone, the cool thing is that you don't have to take it daily. Like, you do take it daily, but we give you a prescription for it. So first you'll start at a week, so you don't have to come every day to the clinic, which is completely different to methadone because that's every day in the clinic. So
yeah, I used to be on methadone before I came to McShane, and it's
a barrier.
It's a lot. Going there, yeah, especially when you don't drive or have a vehicle, it was an issue sometimes. Yeah,
yeah, it's a huge issue. And then when you don't show up for it, you usually get penalized at the clinic at least places I've worked at.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I went to one called Aegis Treatment Centers, mm-hmm. and if you don't show up for 3 days, they kind of like they basically kick you out.
Right.
And you have to come back in and do a whole another assessment and see the doctor. And so, but,
right. Yeah, it is. Methadone is, it's kind of like a ball and a chain, really. I don't know much about how the actual medication affects you, but I can tell you how the treatment programs are set up, just because that's where I've worked at. It is kind of like, you know, you can't go on vacations until you earn take homes. You can't do anything with your families. Like, if you have I've had numerous patients that have had sons, daughters graduate in different states just because, you know, a lot of the times they didn't have like a stable home life and their addiction kind of pushed away their family.
Yeah.
So a lot of families are spread out amongst states and they're not able to attend graduations, which, you know, that just fuels the fire because you already have a separation between your child and now you're not able to go to their major life events. Like, that's not helping. But long story short, harm reduction is we don't penalize people for continuous use. So we're not expecting you to take Suboxone, for example, for a week and then come back and be completely free of any illicit substance.
Mm.
We're going to help you reach that goal, obviously. We're going to work on adjusting medications. We can even help prescribe medications for depression. We definitely want you to see someone in mental health department. All of our centers have a licensed provider on site, whether it's an LCSW or LPC. We have someone that offers individual therapy, if you'd like it. I say the cool thing about CleanSlate to me as being a substance abuse counselor is that we don't hold you to the fire to see our behavioral health specialist. We're not going to withhold like medication for you from a day or something, because I've seen that happen in the past where if you didn't have a meeting with your counselor, you don't get to be dosed that day.
Right.
So we don't do that. We, on the other side of that double-edged sword, we do want you to be in some sort of program. Say we had a patient that was connected already with their probation officer or parole officer, we would do care coordination, which is where our CSACs come in. They really make sure that you are attending some appointments with some provider. And if not, they're helping you find a outside provider. We don't care if it's not us, but we want you to have a support somewhere.
Okay. You know, there was a point. That's why I have the notebook here so I could write stuff down. And I lost my point. That was really good stuff right there. You were talking about, I don't know. Help me out, Art. What was I thinking?
I don't know. I see. Yeah. So you guys are all over the country here.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So thank you. That's exactly. See, he doesn't realize it, but he can actually read my mind.
Right.
So what I was thinking was, so with the pandemic, you know, mm-hmm. COVID, and the added effects of the mental health and everything, you know, just kind of going let's just say going to shit as far as substance use disorder and mental health over the last 2 years or plus. Have you migrated to a virtual space? Can I have my interaction with you all be virtual? Can I?
For sure. Yeah. That's actually, it's not put out to the public yet, but it's not put out to the public yet.
Oh, okay. That was okay.
No, it's not like a huge secret. I'm excited to talk about it. We are piloting a completely virtual model for our Richmond location right now.
Oh.
That office is led by Dr. Stephen Popovich. He's the senior medical director for our offices in Richmond and Mechanicsville. And he was just voted as like one of the top 5 addiction specialists in Virginia. Mm. So we're testing it out with his location right now, which is he's primarily in our Richmond office. And you can do everything virtually. You can do your intake virtually. You can do everything virtually. You still come in for a drug screen. But everything can be done virtually. You can see our doctors on a virtual platform. And hopefully we just started that about 2 weeks ago. I think they just because of COVID, we obviously migrated to a telehealth platform. But patients are allowed to come in person for their appointments now. And then we also just did that virtual platform that we're piloting in this area. So
I am 90% certain that Dr. Popovich was here like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
With John?
Yeah. That sound right?
Yeah, he was in this office, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
No, he knows everybody here. And I never know where he is, and he never knows where I am. So it's a fun little game we play.
Well, actually, what I'm sitting here realizing is I wish I had thought of that before today, because I probably should have invited him to be here today, too.
No, it's fine.
But Dr. Popovich, we'll get you on another time, too, if you like.
I'm sure he would love that. He loves to do all community engagement stuff. That's actually why my position was created, is because our providers were like, doing everything. They were being not only our providers, but they were doing a ton of community events, you know, engagement stuff. They were doing it all. So that's why they kind of created my position first in Pennsylvania. It's my counterpart Kate's job, and she's phenomenal. She's she's in long-term recovery herself, and she kicks all of our butts.
She's in long-term recovery.
Yeah, she's
that's
great.
Excellent segue to my next question, because I thought, ooh, this might be actually a bit of a curveball here, but still soft. You mentioned that you have PRSs, peer recovery specialists. So these would be individuals who identify as either being in recovery or being a family member affected by in recovery, a family member of a person in recovery.
Yeah.
I believe that's, I think that's, you just took the class. PRS is, you don't have to necessarily be in recovery, but you can be a family member, right?
Yes.
Yeah, of course. Okay. So, I don't know why I'm doubting myself. I know this stuff. But the reason I'm asking this, so you have PRSs on staff. How involved in the services and how involved are they with the services you provide to your participants or clients? I'm not sure the word you all use. And how do they interact with the clinical staff?
Oh my gosh, I could talk about this for days.
Oh, please, we have like 40 minutes.
Okay, cool. So right now we have a peer recovery specialist in Mechanicsville. We're actually hiring for both of our other locations.
Okay.
Too. So Norfolk is looking for a peer recovery specialist. And
can you give us a salary range on that?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know, but I do. Clean Slate pays, I will say they pay very well.
Okay.
Everybody is paid very well. I don't know what the salary range is, and I just have heard from other people who have been like, everybody who's been with Clean Slate has literally grown up with Clean Slate. My position's new, so they got someone new from the outside, and not a lot of people who are working for Clean Slate knew exactly what it would entail. I haven't really met a whole bunch of like new fresh people there though. Like my boss has been with Clean Slate for 12 years and moved states to be
with
them.
Wow.
Yeah. Like everybody there has been there for like 10 plus years. It's kind of insane. So I don't think it's bad.
No, that's great. That's institutional knowledge right there.
Right. Yeah. So I don't think it is. I don't know what the pay range is exactly, but I don't think it is. I'm going to guess it's not bad because everyone stays there.
Okay.
So, which I know pay is not everything. I'm not saying it is, but a lot of people change jobs because of pay often. I feel like that's one of the leading causes to switch jobs.
All right. Well, I mean, as we were talking earlier, as I was showing you around, You know, one thing that McShin does, I think, in my little humble opinion, as I have the logo on my arm and I'm a participant, or I'm a former participant here, I'm alumni. One thing that we really do well is bringing peers up and training them. Mm-hmm. And with the expectation that many of our peers are going to go out and get into the field somewhere else.
No, it's awesome. They all have their own offices, which I think is a big deal. When I started as an inpatient, and I shared an office the size of a coat closet with two other ladies, and it was no bigger than this table. I kid you not. It was the tiniest coat closet office. So whenever I apply for a job, I'm always like, do I get my own? Like, that's one of my questions. And I know it sounds bad, but I'm like, I want my own office. Like, I love my own space. For Clean Slate, I requested a window because, I keep upping the ante with all my offices. But I'm like, I'm a creature of sunlight, so I have to have a window. Because my last office didn't. And it was so awful. Just sitting in there for 8 hours a day with no window.
Right.
Anyway, I digress. But well, our peer
but
recovery specialist.
Yes, you digress, but also quality of life, you know, in the workforce. You're gonna be a better worker.
I could talk about how great Clean Slate's been all day. Maybe I just had I don't know why. Maybe I had terrible trauma from other employers. I'm not sure. But I didn't think I was micromanaged other jobs. And then when I came to Clean Slate, it's just like it's literally a clean slate. Like they are like, we trust you, go do what you want to. They're just great. They really prioritize like self-care, wellness days. They couldn't have been more like accommodating. And I'm sure that's not everyone's experience, but that's my personal experience, is they've been really helpful and just a really great place to work for. But if anyone's interested in applying for a peer recovery specialist position, I couldn't say enough great things about it. I've only been there for 2 months, and I think I'm pretty honest and transparent, especially about employers. I think that's important, but they're extremely involved in our clinical staff care. I actually just formed a partnership with Hype Counseling in Richmond.
Okay. Yeah, we know Hype.
Yeah, they're great. They do everything as well. But we are having a call with them talking about how we can kind of fix the barrier of transportation. And I include our peer recovery specialists on those calls. They do everything that our care coordinator does. I actually was talking with Sean. He's our peer recovery specialist for our Mechanicsville office yesterday. And I asked him, I was like, what do you do that, or what does Christian do? Christian is our care coordinator. He's our CSAC. What does he do that you aren't allowed to do? And he was like, I'll bring it to you. And it's this one document we partner with, OneSource's Forest Hills Recovery House. It's this one document that Forest Hills requires us to fill out for them, just kind of like a data thing every week about patients and how they're progressing in our treatment program. And we send it back to them. They like to follow up with their former patients as well. So that's the only thing that Sean does that Christian, or that's the only thing that Christian does that Sean doesn't do. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Other than that, it's they do a lot of case management. I know that just like you were telling me, we help them navigate the Medicaid system. If patients come in and don't have insurance, even though we offer that sliding scale and option, we like to see if we can get them qualified for insurance, so he'll help with that. Anything from transportation, he told me yesterday his first week with Clean Slate, he had a patient come and she didn't have any clothes coming, you know, off the streets, and he was like, okay, let's go, got in his car, took her to get clothes, they came back for her appointment, her intake, and her boss was like, wait, no, like, you can't do that. Like, we can't take, like, we don't, we're not, as a company, we're not allowed to put patients in our vehicle. Mm-hmm. But they do everything. I mean, Sean is extremely involved. He was telling me about your event next week.
Yeah.
He is extremely involved in the just recovery community. He's crazy great. He sends me emails for everything. He's actually helped me a lot with my position, just especially in this area, since I am living in Virginia Beach. Since this area, he gets all like recovery blast emails, things like that. So they do a lot of case management. Our patients don't have, a lot of patients come in and have individual sessions with our CSAC coordinators, care coordinators. So, you know, Sean doesn't necessarily provide therapy, like we don't bill for his service or anything like that. But well, patients do come see him.
Okay.
But it's not like an individual session per se or anything like that.
So PRSs are Medicaid reimbursable through, but definitely not therapy.
Yeah, no, just not definitely, for like, not for therapy. Not therapy. Yeah, it's definitely not for therapy that we, but patients, he says that patients will call him, you know, and just obviously like that's their position. So they're there to chat and help patients in any way they can. And that's truly exactly what he does.
How many patients would you think one PRS would be handling at any one time?
Okay, so the thing about Clean Slate is in Virginia, we're only 2 years old.
Okay.
We're not that new, or we are that new. I don't want to gauge if that's a lot of patients, if it's a lot of patients or not, because clinics I've worked at in the past have like 500 patients a clinic. In Richmond, we have 238, and in Mechanicsville, we have a little bit less than that, still over 200, but somewhere between 200 and 238.
Wow. And one PRS.
It is one PRS, but...
But not everybody needs something.
Right, yeah. And not everyone needs something. And then also our care coordinators work with them.
Yeah.
So they don't necessarily have, like, you can only see these patients. That's what we don't like. We like our patients to feel free to see whoever they want to see, whatever provider they want to see. So we let them kind of have free roam. If they jive with Sean, they can totally go see Sean. And if they jive with Christian, they can go see Christian. Vice versa, they can see each other. They can see whoever they want to.
that's fascinating stuff. I love hearing the differences in how PRSs. You know, we do a lot of work here at McShin, and also I think in the recovery community. Period, trying to drive down you know, ethical procedures, boundaries, you know, ethics. And you know, there are specific codes of ethics that PRSs have to follow as a PRS. And then culturally, or, you know, whatever the culture of the organization is, you know, follows a separate set of ethics. And so when you were talking about driving with a participant in the car, you know, I'm just sitting here thinking, I don't know how this organization, McShin Foundation, would be able to function if we were not allowed to do that. So
it's interesting.
And I know that to be the case, you know, we're you know, we're very often, many of our staff are still living in housing, and most of our staff are alumni of the place. So there's a culture of community that grows, and as we go into this over here, you know, the ethics kind of, the boundaries kind of go up higher and stronger. And so, you know, we have very intentional, very important, I think, and transparent discussions about ethics here at the McShin Foundation. And I think as the recovery community, as a whole, must have those conversations, you know, so we're being effective with our patients and our customers, or whatever word you want to use, our clients, we say participants here. But I want to take a quick break. With that 2.5 minutes, we're going to throw a little commercial thing in here. And then when we come back, I really want to talk about what you see as growth for your community.
Okay.
You know, Clean Slate. And really just anything else you want to talk about.
Here at McShin, we believe in the McShin way, which is authentic recovery support service providers, people with lived experience, bringing that experience to those who need that lived experience in recovery.
Here at McShin, we believe in many things to support our mission. We believe in women empowerment.
What I love most about what we believe here at McShin is we believe in the authenticity of the peer-to-peer approach.
Here at the McShin Foundation, we believe in giving people opportunity.
Here at McShin, we believe in the inherent worth and dignity of every person.
At the McShin Foundation, we believe in helping people reach their full potential.
Here at the McShin Foundation, we believe in multiple pathways to recovery.
Here at McShin, we believe in placing principles before personalities to help spread hope.
Here at McShin, we believe that recovery is possible, and that any person seeking recovery can become a more acceptable, responsible, and productive member of society.
Here at the McShin Foundation, we believe in self-discovery.
Here at McShin, we believe in saving lives and offering second chances.
Here at McShin, we believe you can do this.
Here at McShin Foundation, we believe that we can only keep what we have by giving away, which is why we continue to help others like us seek and find recovery.
Welcome back, everyone. Again, I'm Nathan Mitchell, and this is the award-winning recovery podcast, Get in the Herd, brought to you by the McShin Foundation. We are in today with Josie Thomas, who's visiting us from Clean Slate Centers. They have offices here in the Richmond area in Mechanicsville, and we've been talking about outpatient addiction medicine, you know, the services provided. We talked about the PRSs and the roles of the PRS within the organization where you are. We've peppered it with a few insights from our eye in the sky, Art A. I can't say it, Art.
Argyris.
Argyris. I put a block on your name. I got to figure.
Argyropoulos, Argyris.
Argyropoulos. Art Argyropoulos over there. Anyway. And we have fun around here. So welcome back, Josie. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
I was telling you a little bit before we started recording earlier. I was telling you about where this goes. And so one thing that I happen to love about the McShin Foundation is many of us here, you know, I'm a previous participant. I'm an alumni. I'm an alum, to use the correct Latin word, alum. I'm an alum.
Is that the correct one?
I think so.
When do you use alumni?
Multiple people.
I had no clue.
Yeah.
Alumnus?
I think alumnus is a... I don't know where that word goes. Yeah. Somebody with a Latin... I took Latin back in high school, way back... No, actually back in junior high, way back in the day. And then I left that into German for 4 years.
I took Spanish.
You took Spanish?
Yeah. I took Spanish.
And you were...
Easy
yeah,
A.
Yeah. Except
really?
He,
no, not me. I failed.
I speak
I didn't
Spanish.
Fail, but I got a C.
It was a first language. Okay. I mean, it was
a second
language. Yeah.
We grew up with a Spanish-speaking housekeeper, so.
Oh wow! How loud! That's a housekeeper.
We grew up with a Spanish-speaking housekeeper.
I know, like, that's casual.
I thought you were gonna say your mom was a native speaker.
She was.
Well, yeah. I know. That's why I thought that's what you could say.
A housekeeper.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Fancy.
Yeah, I had a housekeeper too. We called her mom.
Oh. I was about to feel so left out. I was like, I didn't. I was like the housekeeper.
Well,
my parents were like, we had kids for chores, so come on.
Actually, if we're being completely honest, I was often the housekeeper too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that my parents weren't. If my mom sees this, she's gonna get so mad because I always rag on her about how my dad, like, my mom was going back to school when I was growing up for social work. So she went and got her bachelor's and her master's, like, after she turned 45. She went back to school really late in her, well, not late, but later in life. And I always rag on her how my dad always cooked, dad always cleaned, you know. And she was like, I was always studying. And now she has a private practice and she's super successful and she's really great. But to this day, every like holiday, I'm like, well, what's dad cooking? And she's like, you know, I can cook too. And my dad would go on business trips and she'd feed us cereal. So I'll never let her live it down. But
I'm sensing resentments.
No, there's no resentment. It was just a fact. My dad was, he always like cooked. Like my dad, I could gloat about my dad. I have like, love my dad. He's great. Yeah, just because he's like, he's a cool dude. And he
cooks.
And he cooks. Yeah, he cooks and he sews curtains.
Wait, what?
Like, do you know the, did you guys do like the typical trips to Williamsburg when you were growing up?
I did. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so my dad.
Art's like, actually from California.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, yeah.
But have you been to Williamsburg?
No.
It's okay. Very colonial. Like, everything's very colonial in Williamsburg. They have those.
I went to DC on a eighth grade field trip, but I know we went to Virginia. I don't know.
Where. You might have. We need to go though. It's beautiful.
Yeah,
you I haven't been since I was a teenager, actually.
So yeah, so we did that trip, and my dad sewed me like a colonial dress to wear. Like he made it from scratch.
Nice.
Yeah.
And wow.
My dad, seriously.
Wow.
It's engineer. So
give it up for Josie's dad.
Yeah. The engineer. Give it up for my dad.
Yeah. So we were joking about the housekeeping thing, and so you know, when I grew up, my dad was Navy, and he was, you know, enlisted in the Navy. And my mom, you know, was a Navy wife, and I think she worked at the exchange for a little bit. And you know, she was going to school too, and now she is super successful now. Like she's very successful now. But
working at the Navy exchange is successful as well.
Well, it is. Oh no, no, no. She
like,
was.
I feel like they have a cool, like, it's a cool job.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I it was a long time ago, way before you were born. And it really was. Well, I mean, my dad got out of the Navy. Well, he got out of the Navy in 97, I think.
That's when I was born.
Yeah. Well, and we were overseas. My parents got divorced in 84. So 84, 85. 84, we came back from Japan. But I think then they were split up. So 85, I think, is when the divorce happened or whatever, somewhere around there. Yeah. Way before you were born. So anyway, the point being... What was my point? I lost my point. Oh, she's I mean, now she's like super successful and doing great, but like that's not how I grew up. It would have been nice. I'm the oldest
housekeeper.
I know, right?
Art.
Right? Art. Did you have a chauffeur?
No.
Is that a California like thing? Do lots of people have housekeepers? Was that like your area?
Not really.
I feel like we're embarrassing Art a little
bit. I know.
Are we embarrassing
you? The podcast took a deep turn, dive down. We're about to start exposing childhood traumas, lots of things. So.
Childhood trauma. What'd you just say?
No, it was just what it.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is what it is.
No, I like that. Yeah. I beg my fiance every day to get a housekeeper, and he's like, "It's just you, me, and two dogs." Like, what's? I'm like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What's the deal? Because I don't like doing like the baseboard scrubbing. He went on deployment and came back, and I thought I had cleaned the house like so well. You know, I was like cleaning for days, and I came home. It was like, you know, maybe 3 or 4 days. I went out to Target and came back home, and he was like washing the walls, like cleaning the baseboards. And I like dropped my bags, started crying. I was like, I didn't want you to have to do this. I feel awful. And I was like, this is why we need a housekeeper. And he was like, it's not even bad. I have a golden retriever, and he like rubs his whole body up against all our walls in the hallway all the time. And I'm like, dude, what is the deal? But he loves to like get a little scratch in. So yeah, that was the dirty walls. If I had a housekeeper, it would have just been better.
I love. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
I don't know if she washed the walls though.
She probably did. Baseboards. Well, and the reason I say that is
I don't think that's a common thing to do.
No. Well, I don't. Well, I'm gonna. So I worked for a hotel, and I worked for a very small, very, you know, high end, a little B&B for a long time, and absolutely the walls and baseboards were something that our housekeepers took care of. And I'm saying that's in a corporate setting, but the mansion, the bed and breakfast that I worked in, that was a house. I mean, it had been a house at one point. So, and yeah, those baseboards got dusty. It was, and actually, no, I'm gonna even stretch that to further, because I worked in catering too. And as event director, I had a you know, private space that we also used, and we did outside catering too. But when we used the private space inside, I was always washing the baseboards, the stair treads, you know, always washing washing those and getting the scuff marks off and cleaning the dust off the baseboards. When I go into a space, if I see dirty baseboards, yeah, in here,
you bet I'm going to wash them.
Oh, well, I'm going to wash them or I'm going to think something.
Oh.
And, oh yeah, you know.
This is like not your own space. This is someone else's space. You're going to.
Well, I mean,
I
wash the baseboards in my house, and Jesse Wysocki, our chief operating officer, who often does the house inspections, because, you know, we inspect the houses for cleanliness.
Right.
He does check baseboards. That's a big thing of his.
He's like,
I mean.
Yeah, white glove.
White glove, everything. Uh-huh. Just... He needs to come inspect my house. Oh, God, that would help.
You don't want that. You don't want that.
He'll find something.
You don't want that.
It's okay. Yeah.
Because it's a whole long email of pictures, and it's just
pictures.
Oh yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
That's very detailed. Pictures and then a detail. It's like
house
inspection. Yeah.
No, he's
like, before you buy a house, they'll send you a detailed list of everything that's wrong with it.
He absolutely goes in because you have, I mean, in all seriousness, I mean, like, we've got 15 houses, and so most of the houses are about 10 people, know, and so it's 2, 3, sometimes even 4 in a room, mostly 2 or 3 in a room, but some are 4, the bigger giant rooms, right. But everybody gets, VAR standards are 50 square foot per person, so everybody gets at least that much, you know, private space. And so, yeah, you put all those people together and all those lives that are mixed, you know, we have to make sure that we're certain standards of cleanliness because, you know, for the obvious reasons, just the obvious reasons alone, the rodents, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. But also, you know, it's a new way of life, you know?
Yeah, it's like a fresh start. You want it to feel clean.
For me, you know, I'm glad we brought this up because I do wash my baseboards. I do. But I also like just making my bed in the morning, like for a long time. It's important to me. I do it 99.9% of the time, and I literally will feel agitated when I don't. Like, especially if I come home and I'll even as I'm going home think, oh, I left this morning and I didn't. And it's very rare that I don't, but every once in a while. But for me, you know, we do that. We drill that into our participant's head. You know, we get up, we make our beds, we do chores in the house, and it's something simple. You know, we keep it. Everybody keeps up their chore in the morning. Some houses, I know, Art's house. The house leader, or no, I think what it is, when you do your chore in the morning, you actually send a picture of your chore done to the house leader. Is that correct?
No, we send it in the group chat.
Send it in the group chat. Yeah.
Accountability.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I really like that.
I wish my college roommates and I did that, actually. Right? I feel like that would have solved a lot of, like, just not animosity, but a lot of, like, you know, you know how females are, like, passive aggressiveness. So it could have, it would have solved a lot of things if we just sent, like, a picture, like, hey, I did that.
Right.
Clean up your dishes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We hold each other accountable.
Yeah, I like that. Accountability.
Dishes. Dirty dishes. What happens to dirty dishes at your house when they're left in the sink?
We throw them away.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
That would have also probably, I don't know if that would solve some stuff, but that's a good idea. I would have
solving stuff at our house. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because then, people are just like, we don't have any more dishes.
And you're like, well, that's
tough tips.
Did you not clean them?
Yeah. Exactly.
Does everyone have like their own dishes?
I mean, it might get to that point, but not right now. We have dish. I mean, we have.
Pat's been suggested in the past. Like, somebody suggest. I was a house leader here for a long time. And, you know, that was a tool that was taught to me. You know, it's like I have a couple different options. I can wash the dishes, which
you can throw them away.
I can throw them away. I can put them on somebody's bed. I find that to be gross. And B, that's just more work for me, you know, figure out whose dishes.
It's just really passive aggressive. I'm not a passive aggressive person. So I would get like, my feelings would be so hurt if someone put my dirty dishes on the bed.
Well, I would too. I think,
I'd be like, okay.
Plus, I don't always know who it is. I mean, usually we end up figuring it out. And
the process of elimination.
Yeah. I mean, the situation eventually works itself out. I mean, we could have personal dishes.
We have a good house now. People are owning theirs. You know, we take a picture of the dishes and whoever, you know, they own it.
This group chat, I bet it's just like popping.
We have essays too. We have people write essays.
Oh, that must be fun. What talk about some of these essays.
Well, just recently we had someone, I won't say who, missed the Wednesday meeting. We just have them write a 500 word essay.
Oh, in the group chat?
Just a 500.
No.
Oh.
Yeah. I was thinking in the group chat.
I mean, our house leader Rob gives out 1,000 word essays. I have 1,500 word essays. So
I barely did that in college. Like barely, honestly. So that
might be, well.
Yeah, that could be part of the issue.
Well, there's probably a lot of cut and pasting that's going on from other sources.
Rob keeps them.
Does he?
He has essays from time,
they typed or handwritten?
Both.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I couldn't do a handwritten one. I could type. I keep track of all the words and stuff.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm surprised. Some people write and
knock
really
it
good
out.
Writers. Yeah. Yeah.
It's actually it's a great exercise. It's not, I never used that when I was a house leader. Bob, who was the men's program director at the time, he used that for like a recurrence of use. So I never used that. I would have, actually. Now, in hindsight.
It takes a little bit to get to that point.
Yeah.
Continually addressing something that's an issue, then, you know, we'll have them sit down, write an essay, and that way they can think about it.
And it's not like, I don't necessarily throw dishes out. I didn't throw dishes out on the first time. No,
it's, if it continues to happen, and it's, we'll then throw them out.
We
and it works. I mean,
oh yeah. We did get to one point though at Chamberlain, at the house I was in, we had to, it just never stopped. And we all knew who it was and it just wasn't stopping. And so, you know what I did? I got rid of all the dishes. I didn't throw them out. I just took all the dishes. I said, all right, everybody's using disposables now. Mm-hmm. Go buy your own shit. And I mean, eventually we just had to wait for that person to move out. But the funny thing about that person, right? And without, I won't call the person out or up or forward or anything, because this person's a lovely person and still in my life. And is in, got not only solid, like good recovery now, but actually comes and runs groups here occasionally and is very involved here. So it's funny to see the progression, you know, from even day to day with individuals. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I got here in April of 2018 after being in our program in jail in Fauquier County. And, you know, with 2 months of recovery. And when I came in here, I had 2 months clean. And that, you know, I used that word intentionally, but you know, I 2 months of recovery. And so I thought I knew everything. Yeah. And, I didn't, but I thought I did. I still sometimes do think I know everything. Art can attest to that. And I was hoping he would say, no, he's cool. Art.
He's all right.
Yeah.
There you go. See, validate me, please. But seeing people grow, you know, and so seeing people grow from day one, mm-hmm. you know, and I have friends I've known since I got here.
Right.
You know, and some of whom have stayed, you know, in recovery the whole time. Some of whom have gone back out and come back in to recovery. And I, for the most part, I don't, you know, people who go back out, I tend not to have so many friends because they know what I do. I mean, mm-hmm. it's not like I'm judging necessarily. I'm trying not to be judgmental, but I mean, they know what I do, and it's tough to have a conversation with somebody, you know, for, I would imagine for them, it must be tough to have a conversation with me when it's like, all right, well, I'm doing these, I'm cool and I'm clean and I want that for you too. And, but, I'm actually thinking of somebody specific right now. And so I'm sorry, I'm not going to go down that road, but the reality, you know, is that like right here, like we need so many different resources. We need to have all these different options available. And when I was telling you earlier about what we do with this podcast, right? Making it available to the people in jails and prisons. Like, I love that work we do. And it's also, you know, oftentimes we have alumni mm-hmm. who watch, you know, or participate, people who have come through the program, you know, stayed with us a couple months, left, and are now living lives in recovery. But some people still need the added support of what you all offer.
Absolutely.
You know, and some people, you know, even in housing, I suppose, could avail themselves of what you offer as well, you know, mm-hmm. and so bringing it back to Clean Slate Centers and why you're here, you know, this is just another awesome tool to have in our toolbox.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. In terms of what you all do and expansion and what you all want to be doing, what recovery, like you talked about the one-on-ones, the individual stuff. Mm-hmm. Do you have groups there?
Yeah, we just, another thing in our Richmond office we just piloted is our pregnancy group. So Clean Ooh. Slate also, we specialize in treating pregnant women with addiction.
Oh, you're not getting people there to get pregnant?
No, we're not having people get pregnant.
Oh, okay.
Like at our site. No, no, people who already are pregnant. I mean, I'm sure there are some cases where women come in and are like, I want to have a baby, like I'm trying to have a baby right now. So obviously we'll treat them, like we'll definitely take very close monitoring on medications. We'll review like pretty much holistic health with them, reproductive health, those kinds of things. And we just like you guys utilize places like us more as like maybe not a step down, but just a place for people to go to or another resource. We utilize other resources too.
Maybe a step over.
Yeah, exactly. Like kind of like a step over. A lot of patients come from recovery centers, like inpatient units, things like that. So we're used as a step down a lot.
Yeah.
For people leaving a inpatient treatment or rehabilitation kind of center.
Yeah.
But yeah, we do groups. All of our centers do groups different days. Our Norfolk group has groups on Wednesdays. They're all led by our therapist. And then Mechanicsville and Richmond, they have groups throughout the week. And those, just like our treatment, are tailored to our patients, what's kind of relevant. We offer like an introductory group for orientation for patients. And then just kind of depending on what we're hearing in our patient population, what they need. So I know one group that I used to do as a counselor was wellness. I'm really passionate about wellness and routine and building habits and, you know, like making your bed, things like that. Like, it goes a long way with your mental health. And that's something I'm personally passionate about. And I know we have our therapists will do like a wellness group and address making good choices and habits. And also, it's just a space where our patients can come where they don't feel they're in the same situation. They don't feel the judgment of people going to AA or NA saying like, well, you don't belong here because you're still using something, or like everyone's in the same environment. So it's just a space really for our patients to utilize. But yeah, we do offer our pregnancy group is via telehealth. If you're not in Richmond, anyone in the Virginia region can use it. So we do offer that. And then if you're in Richmond, you can obviously do it in person, or you can do a telehealth if you don't prefer to do it in person.
And I think before we close out today, I'd like to ask, you know, your personal connection to this work, you know, because I asked you earlier about that. And so what brings you to do the work that you do?
Okay. My story is not like a lot of people that you're going to meet in this field. I don't have any history of addiction. I actually have never even smoked or used a substance. Like, I've never even smoked a cigarette, and I'm actually allergic to alcohol. So I don't drink either. Yeah. So I'm
Wait, hold on. There's a song for that. You don't drink, don't smoke. What do you do? You don't drink.
Yeah, nothing.
Do you know the song?
I don't know the song, but
it's Adam and the Ants. Oh gosh, it's an 80s song. All right.
Oh yeah, 90s baby.
I get it. But I mean, you know.
But yeah, so when I graduated college, I worked on an inpatient unit. They did detox there. I was kind of familiar-ish. It was more mental health based. We had a lot of high acuity suicidal patients.
Yeah.
And then after that, I went into the first clinic I worked at. It's Addiction Recovery Systems in Pantops. And I'll talk about them all day because I feel like the staff I worked with was like the best group of people. Everyone was just, it felt like kind of how it feels here. Like, I can come in here and I just know everyone here feels like some sort of family, you know? You just get that feeling where it's like, you can be like, hey, what's up? And you can talk about more than your personal life. Anyways, great place to work with. Yeah. So it was like just a tight-knit family and stuff. I had never even done substance use counseling before. So I started there and worked there and started working on my CSAC hours there. And then when I moved to – I only left because I moved to Virginia Beach. So I did substance use counseling there in Virginia Beach as well. And then – when I was working for that center, there were a lot of gaps that patients kept falling through, a lot of systems that just kept failing, which I know is not anything new to anyone. But a lot of our patients would be like, it also was just so busy that a lot of patients didn't have like the attention that they needed. And everyone kept saying, oh, well, you don't have a resource for that. I can't get you housing. I don't know where to go. So I started doing kind of community outreach, kind of going and being like, hey, what do you offer? Because we offer this and I think we could kind of collaborate and stuff. And I just really loved it. I just kept loving it. And I was already kind of, there's a near and dear spot in my heart for people that are struggling with addiction. Because, you know, I've had family members that have struggled with addiction. It's never been like heroin. It's always been alcohol. But I've not known them personally because they've all – it's been like great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents. But I see the hurt with my parents or like my grandparents. I see like, you know, some ways where that kind of affected them. So there's just a – there's a spot. And I feel like it's – I've had patients that personally will just seek care at hospitals and hospitals will treat them differently because they're struggling with an addiction. And – I don't know. That's not right. I would never treat anyone differently. And you really grow to love this community once you start working with patients one-on-one and you get to see exactly what you were saying, like the start to the finish, just how much they grow. And you get to start meeting family members and babies and just all the things. So I love this community. I'm not a product of any, I know I don't fit in. Yeah, I've had patients that are like, well, how do you know what we're going through? Because you've never done like literally anything. And I'm you're exactly valid. Like, I don't, but I'm more than happy to hold your hand and help you walk through it. Like, I just love being that person that they can call. And I love what I do now. I love going to other places and doing business development stuff.
Excellent.
And working with other organizations. So,
well, I have one final question for you here.
Yeah.
You mentioned the man to whom you are affianced.
Oh, yes.
When does the affiance, when does this engagement end?
I don't want it to end ever. It's so fun being engaged.
Is it?
It is. It's just...
And let me qualify that. I meant engagement end with a marriage. That's what I mean.
We're going to separate. I'm going to go find another engagement. No.
You just hop from engagement.
Yeah, I just hop from engagement.
You're just
hopper.
Collecting diamonds.
Yeah, I love being engaged. No, I love being engaged because everyone, it's like such a fun time in your life. But because everyone's just like, oh my gosh, congratulations. And everyone's so nice. And you get to plan stuff. And obviously, like, I have my job. It's community relations. So, like, I love planning events and things like that. But yeah, I just switched up our whole wedding and it was in October and now it's in November. So it got too big and I didn't like that.
This year?
Yeah, this year. Oh yeah. No, I'm on the, oh yeah.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thanks. I'm really excited. Thank you. We're excited, but nothing is really planned yet.
Okay. Are you getting married in Virginia Beach?
Yeah. So okay. I was, long story short, I was getting married where I grew up in Waynesboro. And then it just didn't feel like me. We were getting married at a country club. It just started sounding like more than I wanted it to be. I'm all about intimacy and being like intentional. And I don't want a wedding. I love that word. I don't want a wedding of like 100 plus people. So I don't, it's just, I just want like small. So I switched it all to Virginia Beach. So,
well, wait, where? I lived in Virginia Beach for a long time.
Okay. It's a newer center. Do you know where Great Neck is?
Yeah.
Okay. It's like kind of on Great Neck. Do you know where Hot Tuna is?
Probably.
Yeah. It's a restaurant. Everyone knows.
Been there forever.
I've never been to Hot Tuna personally, but everyone knows where Hot Tuna is for some reason. It's on Great Neck. It's a small little facility owned by a Methodist church and they allow you to have, I'm not Methodist, but they let me in. So, I don't think you have to be Methodist.
Watch for the lightning.
Yeah. Wait, why? Is that what people say?
No, it's the anger of the gods. You know?
No, I'm not Methodist, but they did let me in and they have like 8 events a year there. So I just wiggled my way into it. She told me, she's like, we're not available on your original date. And I was like, no worries. I'll change it. Like, I've not sent out invitations.
Are you even getting married?
Everyone keeps asking me. I do need to get invitations, sent. A photographer emailed me this morning and was like, just following up from my emails like 3 weeks ago. Are we moving forward with this or not? And I'm like, I'm the worst.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot to put on somebody. Yeah.
No, I'll never. Hopefully this marriage lasts because I'm never planning a wedding again. I'm sure it will, hopefully. But if I keep cleaning like the baseboards, I think it will. If the baseboards and walls get cleaned, it'll probably last.
Well, I understand. Okay, so from my trust a person who's not in a solid relationship. So, but I understand there are two things that are very helpful for that, for sustaining and maintaining a relationship. Okay. One, individual bathrooms.
I know we have one and we're like,
yeah.
Because
so
it also has one sink. So
yeah.
You know when men shave their beards?
Yes. Yes, I do.
The worst. That's.
Gets everywhere.
That's
it does
everywhere.
And he doesn't clean up after himself.
He does, but I'm like, dude, it's on the light switch. Like, I'm like, what the hell? Like, the little hairs, they get everywhere.
They
and
do.
He was telling me the other day, he was like, okay, but you know the feeling that when I shower, I see your long blonde hair just slapped on a wall, and I'm like, oh yeah. He's like, that's what that is for me.
I actually can relate to that.
Yeah,
because I do. Yeah,
he's
I
like,
do
you same. Know when yep. I like have to unclog our shower drains because your hair.
The
I'm
hanger.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. I just had to do that recently to mine. I was like, oh my God, I couldn't believe it.
It's gross.
I pulled out a puppy.
Yeah. We also have golden retrievers. So they, I'm like, it's not always me though. Like, we're a golden family.
Well,
so.
this does relate to number two, right?
Separate closets.
Okay. Number three. and it goes back to what Art was saying. Housekeeper.
Yeah.
Housekeeper.
No, he's not like super, neither of her. I think I'm probably the more anal one. When he was, you know, I always used to rag on him and be like, you're so messy, like with the dishes. And stuff like that. But when he deployed, I was like, oh, it might be me. I might be the best one. And I never thought I was. I was like, dang. But
cleaning for me is therapy.
Yeah, no, it is so, for me too. Yeah. Now I just make myself sound like a slob, but I like clean. I feel like there's one every Sunday you get like a good clean, and then by the end of the week it's just progressively like dirty clothes. It just is like, oh, and then you just start. But I'm putting systems. I've told you I'm a big system, like ritual person. So I'm putting systems in place. You'd think I have like 3 5-year-olds or something, because I'm making like a chore chart and yeah.
A chore chart.
I think you should, if the throwing away people's things work out for you.
No, so in every house right now, in every single house in our organization, there is somewhere a big whiteboard and it has all the names of the participants, and it has other information, and one of those things is also their chore.
Right.
And some houses, it used to be back in the day, they were supposed to change every week. Because
I've lived in 3 mission houses. Two of them do, one of them. But everyone's happy.
Yeah, it's all about compromise too. I mean, I joke and stuff, but my fiance is great. We like literally never fight, but I remember we had to get in a groove of who does what chores. And I read this thing online that was like, you know, there might be reasons why someone doesn't want to do a chore. Like maybe they never did it growing up, or maybe they did it too much growing up. And so finally, like, I just learned, I was like, he loves to vacuum. And I don't have an attachment to vacuuming. It's not my favorite thing, but he prefers to vacuum. I prefer to do dishes. Mm-hmm. So it's just all about compromise. And also, like, the greatest relationships have one person that's like very sane and calm. Right. And the other person is kind of crazy and just wild and stuff. So I feel like those are the best relationships. Everyone balances each other out. It's not necessarily opposites, but it's like, it's a healthy balance.
This is why 2 people in early recovery do not often work out well.
No.
It doesn't.
On that beautiful note, we've hit the hour mark, and I just want to say, Josie, thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah,
anything left you want to add?
No, thank you guys for having me. And if anyone does want to make an appointment with Clean Slate, it is as easy as calling any of our offices or going to our website, and you can make a chat. We have a call center and everything like that. So
Clean Slate.
Yep, Clean Slate Centers, plural, with an S, .com is our website. And each of our offices can be looked up, and you can just call and make an appointment or utilize our walk-in same-day access services.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again for being here today.
Yeah.
Thank you to all of you out there who listened and will listen. And, of course, Art, thank you so much for putting all this together.
Yeah.
Next week, I believe the women are taking over again next Tuesday. Is that correct?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, somebody's taking over. I will not be here next Tuesday. When you see me next on the 16th, I will have a surprise for you, but I'm not going to tell you until that happens. So anyway,
a puppy.
Oh, wouldn't that be a great surprise? Yeah, then I wouldn't have to have mousetraps. Right? Would I? I don't know.
Let's not get into that. It's a dark day for me.
A dark day. I'm no longer allowed at Disneyland.
What happened before I came here this morning?
it's been a dark day for the mice. But anyway, I will see you back next Thursday. The women will be here on Tuesday. Thanks again, y'all. Have a great weekend. Stay in the herd.
Honesty Liller. I am the CEO of the McShen Foundation and a woman in long-term recovery. Since May 27, 2007, I have not used drugs or alcohol. Woo-hoo! Thank you so much to the Richmond Times-Dispatch and all of our voters for getting the Herd podcast. Those podcasts are amazing. Not only has it helped thousands upon thousands of people in their recovery, as well as family members, but it has helped me in my personal recovery. I get to listen to them now in my car through Spotify and iHeartRadio. And it's just really, really important for us to be innovative in the addiction field and the recovery community. So when COVID hit, we had to be innovative. You know, we really had to think of like, what can we do to reach people that cannot go to 12-step meetings, smart recovery, faith-based, whatever, that we're shutting down constantly. So we were innovative here at McShen. Let's start podcast. So with Todd, John, Alex, and some other staff, you know, we all just kind of jumped in who can do what. And with Todd's lead and John's lead, The podcasts have been amazing and we're still doing them today. So I want to thank you for all of your votes and all of your energy and all of your support of our mission of healing families and saving lives. Thanks.